Hello, everyone. Seems strange to be talking to you under these circumstances. I was looking forward to being with you this morning. But instead, here I sit in the computer room, talking into a microphone. I hope everyone's doing well. Jesus said to the disciples one day, "It'll be better for you if I go away. Because when I go, I will send the Holy Spirit." And it's a miraculous thing, all these technical advances that we have, video and audio that we can hear anytime, any place. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. He's not limited to being on one side of the water or the other. He's not even limited to our church building where we would all usually meet for worship. But he can talk through this microphone to each home or wherever we might be. And I just wanted to say how thankful I am for you this morning. The relationship that we have had and your faithful walk in Christ has been such an encouragement to me. Pastor Wayne is a real friend in Christ, and God has used you in ways that you'll never know to be a blessing to me. And it's my honor to be serving you by bringing this message this morning. And happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers. I think it was about 1922, down in the Detroit, Michigan, there was a holiness revival that was very powerful and life-changing that started down in the southern part of the states, and it worked its way up to Detroit. And my great-grandmother lived across the river in Windsor, Ontario. Somebody invited her over to one of these revival meetings, and she had a life-changing experience where she met Christ face-to-face. She was a very strong and courageous woman, and a woman of faith. She mentored a young lady, a teenager, who was also a part of the revival, and that woman became my grandmother. And then about 1933, somewhere in there, up around Owen Sound, Ontario, there was another revival that had come across eastern Canada to that area. And there was a Watkins door-to-door salesman that came to the front door of the farm, and he spoke with my grandmother and tried to sell her products. I don't know whether she bought anything or not, but he did talk to her about this revival, and he talked about what Jesus had done for him. And something struck with her, and so she responded. Also a strong woman and courageous, and she was an anchor in our family. My mother was greatly influenced and became a strong woman of faith and a real servant of God. And also my mother-in-law, Sharon Rice, I continue to be amazed by how steady and solid her faith is. She's not dependent on circumstances from the outside. She is able to find her strength from within. by a simple walk with Christ, and it continues to be a blessing for all of us. So all of you mothers just want to say thank you, and we want to honor you this morning. I want to look at the story of Jacob in the Old Testament. I'm looking here in chapter 28 of Genesis. Jacob had his strengths and weaknesses. He was a mix of good and bad. But it says there that God gave him a dream. He was asleep one night, and God came and gave him a dream in which he saw a stairway going from earth to heaven. And the angels were going up and down the stairs. And at the top of the stairway was God, who said, "I am the same Lord of Abraham, your grandfather, and Isaac, your father, and I'm going to give you and your descendants all the land on which you are sleeping. All of your descendants will spread all around the world, and all the peoples of the earth are going to be blessed by your future generations. I am going to be with you, and I'm going to watch over you wherever you go." What a dream. What a promise. And Jacob had to go through a real struggle to get from the day that he got the dream to where God was able to use him and see that dream become a reality. We too are a part of God's dream and his purposes. He's trying to do something inside of us that will be a blessing to others. He wants to do a transformative work inside of us to make us like Jesus so that we can be an influence in the world. Ultimately, what was Jesus like? Jesus expressed that through his own life, and he also expressed what is at the heart of the Father that day when he was frustrated with the Jewish leaders, priests and rabbis, Sadducees and Pharisees, and he told those three parables back to back to back about the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son, the prodigal son. His heart, God's heart, the Holy Spirit, they are all interested in lost people. And he has given that ministry to us. He wants to include us in that as well. But it's a challenge, isn't it? It is a struggle when we're honest. How do you do that? How does God want to use me to share his love in a way that transforms life, transforms the people around me, friends and neighbors and family? Well, I want to look at some of the struggle that Jacob went through, and hopefully it will be an encouragement to us as well. And there are four phases to this struggle that Jacob went through to get him ready for his dream. And the first phase was the crisis phase. And this is where I struggle with God and others. This struggle happens the day before Jacob is to confront his brother after he had stolen the family blessing. He had stolen the birthright, and this was the day before he has to meet with him face to face, and so he is scared to death. and he has a conflict. And the bigger conflict here is with God. And we see the story of the struggle here in Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 to 25. That night, Jacob and his family went across the Jabbok River. And then Jacob was left all alone in the camp. And a man came and wrestled with Jacob all night. And this wrestling match, a supernatural wrestling match, Jacob is wrestling with God, we find out later. Hosea said that Jacob was wrestling all of his life. Hosea chapter 12, it says, before Jacob was born, he struggled with his brother. When he became a man, he even fought with God. And whatever the crisis might be, whatever the issue might be, it all boils down to a couple of things. One is, will I obey God and do it the right way? And the second is, will I trust God? Trust him to take care of it rather than me intervening and doing it my way, the way that I think is best. And that is the root of all the trouble in our struggle with God. We want to be God. We want to call the shots. And often it leads us to a crisis. Sometimes the crisis, kind of like Jonah, it's a crisis that comes because of our own sin and rebelliousness. Sometimes a crisis like Job, it comes like this coronavirus. We didn't necessarily do anything to make it happen, but we're in the midst of the crisis nonetheless. Doesn't matter how the crisis comes, we know that God is in the middle of it, and he's working through it to bring about his purposes, to change us and to transform us, to make us ready for something great. The objective of any wrestling match is for one opponent to pin the other opponent down, and eventually somebody gives up. And that's what God is doing here. He is wrestling with Jacob. And sometimes it takes a crisis, doesn't it, for God to get our attention so that we do what we need to do. Not only is there a crisis here, but second, there's also a commitment. There's a commitment phase. God gives Jacob all these promises in this dream to build this nation and bless other nations. And so he's going to test him before it becomes a reality. And often he's going to test us as well before he fulfills his promises that he's made to us. Look at this verse in Genesis chapter 32, verses 24 to 26. It says, Jacob wrestled with this man until dawn. And when the man saw that he couldn't win the match, he struck Jacob's hip and knocked it out of joint at the socket. And then the man said, let me go, for it is dawn. But Jacob panted, I will not let you go until you bless me. What an interesting thing for someone to say to the one that they're wrestling with. All night long, they're in this wrestling match. And then Jacob realizes somewhere along the way that it's no ordinary person that he's wrestling with, but it's God. And so he says, he realizes that it's God who is the one that can bless him. And so he says, I'm just as worn out as you, but I am not going to let go until you bless me. And he makes this commitment. He is the one, Jacob realized, that gave him the great dream, and he's the only one that can make it happen. And Jacob came to this point of commitment. And God is not here to thwart his purposes in the dream that he's given to us. He's here to make it happen, and he's ready to prepare us for the change. And it's probably not going to happen in the way that we want it to happen if we were in charge. But he prepares us and transforms us into the image of Christ. He deepens our patience and our resolve and understanding, and we become stronger in our resilience and stamina and character. And our contentment and joy right in the midst of the struggle and the suffering and the discomfort. God was the one in the wrestling match, and obviously he could have overpowered Jacob at any point he wanted to. The only way that this was a match at all is that God was letting Jacob stay in the match. And the only way that we are able to contend with him and stay in the struggle is because God allows us to do it as well when we're struggling with him. Why is it that God lets the struggle go on often? I think the reason is God is using the crises in our lives to get our attention, and sometimes he doesn't do it immediately, and it can be frustrating. And here we see Jacob is wrestling all the way through the night until dawn. You know, why is that? I think it's because God wants to see if we really mean business. Do we really want his blessing? Do we really want his dream to come true? Do we really want his purposes and plans for our lives rather than our own? And often we're waiting until we are just desperate. And we simply say, I'm going to commit and I'm not going to quit until you help me get through this. And God is testing our sincerity and our motives and our commitment. Obviously, God could answer any of our prayers immediately, but we'd all be spoiled brats. He's not like a genie here to grant every wish. It's not the way it works. If God answered every time we snapped our fingers, it wouldn't be good for us. And we didn't create our problems overnight either. It took a long time for us often to get into the messes that we are in, and sometimes it takes us a long time to get out of it. And it can be a struggle, and we have to be committed. You can notice there, it says that he dislocated his hip, and that must have been painful. But the pain and the suffering and the struggle is a part of God preparing us for his dream. And many of us miss God's best. We miss being transformed into his image because we simply give up too soon and we're not ready to press through and were not ready to wrestle until dawn. But Jacob, he said, I'm not going to let go. I'm not quitting until you bless me. Look at this. There's a verse in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Paul says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap the harvest if we do not give up. So that's a good reminder for us in the midst of this coronavirus to not quit, to hang in there. We're going to make it. And this is a test that we go through, and God is working through the test, and we will make it. So there's a crisis phase where the hip gets dislocated in this painful phase in phase two, and it takes years for us sometimes to get through the patterns and the habits and the thoughts that, you know, have governed us. We took a long time becoming who we are. Sometimes it takes us a long time to get out, and we have to stay committed to the process, just like an onion that gets peeled back one layer at a time. And we got to break that down, and it takes a lot of prayer and willingness to look at ourselves and to share that with other believers, and sometimes even to get some counseling. But God is in the midst of it, and he has a great purpose and plan. So the crisis, the commitment, then there's a third phase we see in this story, and that's the confession phase. And this is where I admit that I am my own biggest problem. It's not somebody out there or somebody else, but it's me. I'm my biggest problem. I'm the one causing my own problems by my attitudes, my reactions, the way I'm looking at my life and God and others. And in this third phase, we have to admit that I'm the one causing my problems. I'm the one responsible way more than anyone else. And we have to admit that to ourselves. And when I admit it, that I am the problem, then this is when we get to the breakthrough in the struggle. There's no victory in the wrestling match until we admit it. It says there in Genesis chapter 32, the man asked him, what is your name? My name is Jacob, he answered. It's a strange request. They've been wrestling all night. Obviously, God knows Jacob's name, and he wasn't asking Jacob for his own benefit, but he was asking Jacob to admit the truth about himself. And literally, the name Jacob means a deceiver or a manipulator, and he had been doing that all of his life. He was like a con man, and he deceived his own father Isaac. He conned and manipulated and cheated his brother, and then he also manipulated his father-in-law. So he has this clear track record of being a deceiver, and so God asks him, what is your name? And God is wanting him to admit, yes, my name is Jacob. I admit it. I am a manipulator. I am a deceiver. And in this moment of confession, it's an important part of Jacob's struggle to realize who he was and to admit who he was and to stop, to not fake it or to live at this superficial level. I want you to see who it is that you really are. And so it is for us if we want to influence others and fulfill the Great Commission. We have to stop making excuses for ourselves and our weaknesses. We have to be willing to not tell lies to ourselves and blame others, and rationalize. But we have to be honest. And the Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And God's dream was so big and powerful, he was never going to be able to accomplish it, Jacob, without God's grace. And the Bible says we get grace by being humble. We admit who we are. And we tell God, I am this way or that way, and we admit just like Jacob was willing to admit. So there's a crisis and a commitment and a confession where I admit that I'm my biggest problem, my ego and my stubbornness, my anger or whatever. And then there's one more phase in this process, and that is conversion. The fourth phase in this struggle for God to get you ready for what he has planned for you and for me is conversion. And this is a beautiful, loving, gracious response that God has to his confession. It says in Genesis 32, chapter verse 28, then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob. Instead, you will be called Israel. And then God blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face. And so here the manipulator admits it, and God is now ready to provide a conversion and a change of name, and the transformation happens. And he's not no longer interested in what Jacob was, but through the struggle, he comes out the other side. And look at the transformation. First, he gets a new identity. He gets this new name, Israel. He goes from deceiver, manipulator, and the name Israel means Prince of God. Jacob, God sees Jacob's potential, that he's a scared young guy who's had to fight for everything in his life, but he sees this potential and he gives them this new identity and calls him the Prince of God. Then secondly, you see that he blesses him. And then third, he gives him a reminder. So he never forgets who's in charge. And the reminder is a limp. And he pulls this hip out of socket and leaves Jacob with a limp. This is verse 32, where it says, the sun rose as Jacob left Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. He gave Jacob this limp so that he wouldn't run anymore. He'd spent his entire life running, but he wasn't going to run anymore. He ran from his his brother and his father and his father-in-law. He swindled everyone. But he says, God says, we're going to put a stop to that. I'm going to touch your hip and you'll never run again. And so in the struggle, God leaves him with this limp and this weakness. And it stopped Jacob from this pattern of running away. He had been irresponsible and ran from his problems and manipulated his way out. But we never solve a problem by running away from it and being irresponsible. And so it was for Jacob. And he leaves with this daily reminder that he has to rely on God, and the limping was a reminder of that. He was weak, but he was going to be strong. No longer relying on his strength, but relying on God's strength. It was no longer going to be his own power, but it was going to be God's power to see this dream become a reality. And so here Jacob emerges both stronger and weaker with this new identity. And we understand that God does his deepest work in our lives by changing the way we look at ourselves. And this is a big problem for us, to change the way that we look at ourselves and see ourselves the way God sees us. And the way we see ourselves affects everything else. And it's the kind of change that only Jesus can bring about. To be a prince of God, to be made into God's image. It's a change that only Jesus can bring about. You people have prayed for me so many times. In fact, the last time I came over to be with you to preach, two different groups of people came to pray with me before we got into the service and I went to preach. And I want to pray for you this morning, but before we do that, I just want to go through these four stages again, and then I'll pray. And the first thing I want to ask is, in what area of your life are you struggling with God today? Maybe you didn't even realize it, that you're struggling with God, but just like Jacob, it's a wrestling match with God. And you say, well, what are you talking about here? Let me just get a little more specific. What are some areas in your life that you know what the right thing to do is, but you're just not doing it? You know it's the right thing to spend time with God every day in prayer and in the Word, and you just haven't been doing it. Be a great thing during this coronavirus, with things changing the way they have, to make a commitment to do that and to spend some time, extra time in His Word, praying about it, worshiping Him, confessing, being grateful, and asking Him for specific answers to prayer. Maybe it's a time in fellowship. It doesn't have to be a lot of people, but our circumstances have changed. If it was just one other person that you spent time in fellowship with, and out of your prayer time that you commit to do, I'm going to do that every day, you take that and share that with one other person that you meet with regularly and talk with regularly, and you share a little deeper. What a difference that would make. What about commitment? Is there something, some place in your life you felt like giving up and you're just not trying anymore because it's so frustrating and you've just basically quit? It's just easier to walk away or say there's nothing that I can do about it. But in our new identity in Christ, we don't have to quit. We may be walking away from one of the biggest blessings in our lives, and just like Jacob, he wrestled until dawn. Maybe we need to get back in and wrestle in faith and redo our commitment and let God bring a blessing. What do you need, thirdly, to admit about yourself? The common denominator in all of our problems is ourselves. It takes a lot of courage to face the truth about ourselves, but that is the starting point, to have the courage to do that. When God says, "What is your name? What's really going on inside of your heart?" We don't have to share it with everybody, but we do have to share it with someone. And the Bible says when we confess our sins one to another, we will be healed. And Christ will give us a new identity. So continue to pray for each other. And I know you do that. And let's close this morning. Or it's not this morning. Maybe it's evening. But let's close in prayer. Lord, I want to pray for the Cowichan Church family. And I pray that this message about Jacob, that you would use it and you would speak to us and you would reawaken and strengthen the dreams that you've put inside of each of us, and that we would be willing to go through the struggle and the crisis, knowing that you are in the midst of it and you are right there along with us. And I pray that you would help us to make that commitment in these moments to say, "I'm not going to let go until God blesses, until God brings me through and brings us to a wider place and a better place." Help us to be honest, to admit who it is that we really are. None of that's going to come as any shock to you, but you're ready to hear our prayers and to give grace to the humble. And I pray that as we look to the days ahead, that we would be encouraged, and that you would give us a dream and a real purpose for our church about the future and what you could do if we would be prepared to just take the simple steps that we need to take this morning. We thank you for these moments in Jesus' name. Amen.